إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. فما بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. My brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu advised us and ordered us to have his taqwa. And he told us to have this taqwa not as we wish or at the level we wish, but as it is his right that we should have his taqwa. Haqqa tuqatihi. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us not to die except in a state of Islam. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. I remind myself and you that the only way to ensure that we die in a state of Islam is to live in a state of Islam. There is no way of living in a state outside Islam and then expecting to die in a state of Islam. My brothers and sisters, Islam teaches us that success is proportional to obedience. Obedience to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, as demonstrated by his Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The best example of this is salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to establish salah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us how to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, aqimu salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. This is the most beautiful and the simplest and the easiest to understand connection between the kitab and sunnah, between the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the amal of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the way in which the Quran supports the sunnah. And this is the reason for the importance of the sunnah, which is the field book of the Quran. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu caused the sunnah to be protected and to be practiced in the world down through time. The title of this reminder today is First Who, Then What. I remind myself and you that the tendency to obey depends on two interlinked matters. Whose command is it and how does it affect me? If we don't really know who commanded, or we are disconnected with that, with the one who commanded, then we don't obey them. As an example, and ta'ala Allahu al-amthal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all examples. We do not give examples to illustrate anything to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that. The examples are given for us to understand the concepts. As an example, compare any head of state. Compare, for example, the Queen of England. What do you know about the Queen of England? You might know a lot about the Queen of England, about her wealth and about her power and so on and so forth. But you have no need and no desire to obey whatever she might command because you are not connected with her in any way. But your mother, who perhaps has less wealth and power than the Queen of England, if you are a dutiful son or daughter, then you will leap to obey her every wish, not just command. Because you know what is in it for you. You know your mother. You might actually know less about your mother than about the Queen of England, who you may have studied. But you obey your mother much faster and with greater alacrity and urgency because you understand who your mother is and you understand your connection with your mother. And therefore, I remind myself and you, it is important for us to ask ourselves these two questions with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and His commands. Whose command is it and how does it affect me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself to us. And he introduced himself to us because we need to understand who is Allah if we are going to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because our success in this world and the next depends only on one factor. And that factor is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself to us in two ways. He mentioned his asma wa sifat, his glorious names and qualities and attributes, and he reminded us about his blessings. These are the two ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself. My brothers and sisters, it is strange that we need reminders, because in fact, every morning when we wake up and we are able to get out of bed without assistance, it is a reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu enabled us to be in that state. Every single minute, every single second, every instance in life is a reminder for us about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Yet we have learnt to live in such a state of forgiveness, of forgetfulness, not forgiveness, such a state of forgetfulness and such a state of a lack of conscious and consciousness. We live as if we are intoxicated. We live as if we are unconscious, that we need reminders. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ الزِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, remind, because reminders benefit the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began his book with this reminder, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the first ayat of the Quran, what is it? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. The first ayat of the Quran is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, who is Rahman and Rahim, the peak of Rahmah which extends forever without decline. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself and began his book reminding us about which of his attributes of his mercy. Rahman and Rahim are both from Rahmah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us and told us how to glorify him. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Who is Allah? He is Rabbul Alameen. And all praise and all thanks are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, who is Rabbul Alameen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again said, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah had already mentioned Bismillahir Rahman Ar-Rahim. But Allah said, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim again. Before he mentioned the day of judgment when we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. My brothers and sisters, I ask myself and I ask you to ask yourselves, how do you praise and thank the one who mentioned out of all his glorious names and attributes his mercy, and that also twice? Truly, when you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can only love him. Love him more than anyone and anything else. And out of that love comes obedience. Not as a burden to be discharged, but as an affirmation of love. You are eager to do over and over and over again, because you want to please the one you love. That, my brothers and sisters, is the essence of taqwa. Taqwa is the desire never to offend, never to disobey the one we love the most. This is the connection between the fear of Allah and the love of Allah, between khawf and hub. Bain al-khawfi wa tam'a is the standing point of the Muslim, between hope, between the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger and hope for his mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu introduced himself in this manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Man dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'idhnih. Ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum. ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم
هو الحي القيوم. The one who is established, the one who lives. هو الحي الذي لا يموت. الإنس والجن يموتون. The only one who lives. And every human and every jinn will die. And everything in creation will die. And every malak will die. And the only one who does not die is the one who created all of them. I will not recite the meaning of Ayat al-Kursi. All of you know the meaning, and if you don't know the meaning, go look it up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself in this way by mentioning his asma wa sifat. This ayat is considered the greatest ayat of the Quran, not because it is the longest, because it is not the longest. It is considered the greatest ayat of the Quran because it mentions so many of the asma wa sifat illahi ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So you hear the ayat al-Kursi and you say, well, okay, so I know this now. How does it affect me? Because I asked you to ask yourself two questions. Who is Allah? And how does this knowledge affect me? I know Allah. Okay, I got the introduction. Now what? So what? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how we think because He created us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately after Ayatul Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, so what? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said there is no compulsion in religion. La ikraha fid din. There is no compulsion in deen. Nobody is compelled to accept Allah. Nobody is compelled to obey Allah. And why not? Because Allah is samad. Allah does not need you. Allah does not need me. Allah is samad. So we are advised to obey Allah because it is for our own good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said there is no compulsion on anyone to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no compulsion in religion. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. Verily the right path has been made distinct, has become distinct from the wrong path. Whosoever disbelieves in taghut, whosoever denies and disbelieves false deities, things that we worship, things that we created, our concepts, our creations, our idols, our icons, things on which we insist on relying instead of relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So Allah said the one who disbelieves in all of this and believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا. Such a person who disbelieves in false deities and believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has grasped a handhold that will never break. You know Allah? Allah introduced Himself. So what? So this. So believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And if you do that, then you have grasped a handhold that will never break. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all among those who will have grasped this handhold. Allah said He has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. Allahu Samiun Alim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who hears everything and knows everything. And then Allah explained some more, so what? Allahu Waliyul Ladina Amanu. Allah is the wali of the believers. In Arabic, there are many words for friend. Sadiq and so many other words. Rafiq and Zamil. And so many words for friend, different levels of friendship. But wali is the highest level of friendship. Now with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no friendship as we understand friendship, because there is no similarity between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His makhluk. So translating wali of Allah as friend of Allah is wrong. We are all slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kulluna ibadullah. But in the context of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word wali means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the protector, as the supporter, as the helper of the believer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is the wali of the believer. And what is the result of having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your wali? يُخُرِجُهُم مِّنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes His slave and takes him from darkness into light. My brothers and sisters, this ayah is perhaps the best illustration of the relationship between the two pillars of our aqidah, at-tawheed wal-akhirah, and perhaps the best connection between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His slaves that I know. It is the best example because it believes with the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayat al-kursi. And then it tells all humankind what they will gain if they accept the truth. They would have grasped a handhold that will never break and will take them from darkness into light, from fantasy into reality, from oppression into justice, from sadness into joy, from sickness into health, from ignorance into knowledge, and from Jahannam into Jannah. And all this in the life of the hereafter, a life without end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu introduced Himself by reminding us of his blessings. In the ayat of Surah Ar-Rum, from 20 to 27, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ ومن آياته خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف ألسنتكم وألوانكم إن في ذلك لآيات للعالمين ومن آياته منامكم بالليل والنهار وابتغاؤكم من فضله إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يسمعون ومن آياته يريكم البرق خوفا وطمعا وينزل من السماء ماء
فيحيي به الأرض بعد موتها إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يعقلون ومن آياته أن تقوم السماء والأرض بأمره ثم إذا دعاكم دعوة من الأرض إذا أنتم تخرجون وهو الذي يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده وهو أهون عليه وله المثل الأعلى في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his ayat and his signs and his blessing after blessing after blessing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended all these ayats with some special words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this hidayah, this ayah, these signs are for whom? لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ People who reflect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِقَوْمِ يَسْمَعُونَ People who listen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ People who have understanding and sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these three qualities of people. People who reflect. People who are willing to listen. And people who understand. Who have intelligence. My brothers and sisters, I will quickly narrate the meanings and I gave you the ayat reference as well, so please do look it up. Allah said, and the ayat from ayat number 20, and among his signs is this, that he created you from dust, and behold, you are human beings scattered. And among his signs is this, that he created for you your mates from among yourselves, that you may find repose and comfort in them. And he has put between you affection, love and mercy. Verily in that are indeed signs for people who reflect. And among his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the differences of your languages and colors. Verily in that are indeed signs for people of knowledge. And among his signs is the sleep that you take by night and by day, and your seeking of his bounty. Verily in that are indeed signs for people who listen. And among his signs is that he shows you lightning by way of fear and hope. And he sends down rain from the sky and therewith revives the earth after its death. Verily in that are indeed signs for people who understand. And among his signs is that the heaven and the earth stand by his command. And afterwards, when he will call you by a single call, behold, you will come out of the earth. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. All are obedient to him. And he is the one who originated the creation, who originates the creation, and then will repeat it after it has perished. And this is easier for him. His is the highest and the most glorious description. There is nothing comparable to him, and only he is worthy of worship. And this is the greatest description in the heavens and the earth. And he is the Almighty and the Wise. My brothers and sisters, these are signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are part of our daily experience in life. All these and many other ayat of the Quran and the ayat in our lives, the signs of Allah that we see within ourselves, our bodies and minds and hearts, and the signs we see all around us, all of these are ayat of Allah. And they remind us about Allah and of our meeting Him one day. This is the reality, and it doesn't depend on belief for its existence. My brothers and sisters, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the very purpose of creation. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ In Surah Al-Zariyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and I have not created the jinn and the human beings for any purpose except that they should worship me. Ya'budun is Ya'rifun, is to know Allah, to worship Allah, because we know Allah. The purpose of our creation is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to worship Him. And for this reason, we need to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from all this, I understand the following sequence that leads to developing a relationship with Allah and thereby fulfilling the purpose of our creation. In other words, the way to be successful in this world and the next. Now, what is that relationship? It is to know about Allah. As a result of that, to enable to feel an awe and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. So we know about Allah, we feel the awe of Allah because of this knowledge, which leads us to obey Allah. So after knowing comes obedience, and then the shukr of Allah, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that He has given us. And out of the shukr comes the hub and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the relationship between ilm, knowledge about, taqwa, result of that knowledge, shukr, gratitude for the blessings, and hub, love, the eyes of the heart open of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which opens the eyes in the heart. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah said, their eyes in the head don't go blind. The eyes in the heart go blind. It is the framework of the relationship of the believer, which is based on knowing his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, feeling the awe of his majesty and grace, and so fearing his displeasure and hoping for his forgiveness, being grateful to him for his blessings, shukr, and therefore loving him Jalla Jalaluhu. This is the relationship between the head, information, rules and laws, and the heart, awe and gratitude and love. It is the relationship between ibadah and irfan, the worship of the body and the worship of the heart. It is the relationship between knowing about and actually knowing. It is the relationship between living in this world as a person of this world, still obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not talking about living in this world like many of us live, disobeying Allah. I'm talking about it is the relationship between knowing, between living in this world as a person of this world and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you believe in Him, and living in this world as a person of the Akhirah, grateful for what Allah has given in this world, but with the heart not in this world, but yearning for the meeting with Allah. Yarjullaha wal yawmal akhirah. Yearning to meet Allah. The only desire is the desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. There is a vast difference. My brothers and sisters, to reach here, we must make effort, no doubt. And no doubt also that if we don't make the effort, and instead if we do the opposite, we will never reach this stage. But after all the effort, the one who is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and submits to his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu that all the effort is useless unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to grant him the gift of his closeness. And for that, the slave begs his Rabb after making all the effort. The effort gets you to the door of the palace. Without effort, you are not even close to the door. But after all the effort, you will get in only if the door opens. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu that He declared that He would open the door for the one who is obedient and seeks His pleasure. And that's why in Surah Al-Alaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Wasjud waqtarib. Allah said, fall in sajda and come close. When the slave submits himself in sujood, his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu draws him close to himself. And that is the beauty of the love of Allah. This is the essence of Islam. Complete and total submission and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, because the Muslim loves his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. My brothers and sisters, The love of Allah is the foundation of tawakkul, the reliance on Allah, whose power the person knows and whose blessings he feels grateful for. He fears nobody except Allah and relies on nobody except Allah. And this is the reason that the more he knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more he loves him and the more he fears displeasing him. It's a beautiful, positive, self-sustaining relationship. The relationship between taqwa and hubb, which results in tawakkul, the reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And that's why everything the believer does is for one reason only: to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he loves him more than anyone else. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that time is running out. Time is running out for every single one of us. We truly and truly do not know how much time we have left. And therefore it is extremely important for us to settle this question once and for all. Do I want to live in this life obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thereby be successful in this dunya wal akhirah? Or do I want to live this life in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in obedience to my nafs, and thereby by the failure of this dunya wal akhirah? My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those who obey their desires instead of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not even to make dua for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Furqan, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَى أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Allah said, have you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seen the one who has taken his desires, who has taken her desires as their ilah, as their object of worship? You know and I know that we don't put our desire in front of us and make sajda to the desire. So what is Allah saying? This is one of the dalail which shows that obeying someone or something, including your own nafs, including your own heart, in opposition to the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amounts to worship of that thing. So Allah said, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. He said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you not seen the person, have you seen the person who has taken his, as his God, his own desire? Would you then be a wakil? Would you then be that person's friend? Would you then be that person's advocate? Would you make sifarish and intercession for such a person? Will you be a wakil over him? What is the meaning of that? Do not be a wakil over him. Do not intercede for that person. Do not seek forgiveness for that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not to intercede for those who take their desires in opposition to the hukum of Allah. I'm sorry to beat an old horse to death. How many Muslims do not know that praying five times salah in the masjid is fard? How many Muslims do not know that praying five times salah itself is fard? How many Muslims do not know that dealing in interest is haram? How many Muslims do not know that shaving their beard is haram because it is destroying the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many Muslim women do not know that hijab is fard and not to have hijab is haram? How many Muslims do not know that alcohol and pork and so on is haram, therefore eating it, selling it, buying it, transporting it, anything to do with it is haram? How many Muslims do not know that lying and cheating is haram? I can give you a long list. How many Muslims do not know that gambling is haram? Whether you gamble on horses or dogs or rats or mice or cards or what, makes no difference. Gambling is haram. Even in Malakpet it is haram. Even if you are sitting in the box it is haram. Even if you are riding the horse it is haram. You don't know this? أَفَأَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا.
My brothers and sisters, if this is my last lecture here, this is how I want to be remembered. That somebody who reminded you of this over and over and over, knowing full well that many of you do not like me to remind you about this again and again. My apologies to you. I care more about the pleasure of my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu than I care about your pleasure. My brothers and sisters, stop fooling yourself. Stop fooling yourself. Remember, please Allah, and Allah will make the world please you. Please Allah, and Allah will make the world please you. Anger Allah in trying to please the world, anger Allah, and Allah will enslave you to the world. My brothers and sisters, we know that, we believe that we live in a world of cause and effect. Everything has an effect. Every action of this life has an effect. Every choice has an effect. We believe this and we know this from our own life experience. How then, as Muslims who claim to believe in Allah, how then, as Muslims who claim to believe in Allah, do we justify living our lives as if displeasing Allah has no effect? Everything has an effect, but displeasing Allah has no effect. Everything has an effect, but pleasing Allah has no effect. This is what bazabane hal, this is what by our actions we are declaring. Even though with our tongues we say la ilaha illallah, but our actions are the opposite of la ilaha illallah. How can we continue to do this? My brothers and sisters, seriously, I sometimes have a big laugh when people make, they have this jalsa, this gathering for tahaffuzu sharia, protection of the sharia. Whereas the sharia is not something to be protected, the sharia is something to be implemented, to be practiced. The people who are holding the gathering for the tahaffuz of the sharia do not practice the sharia in their own lives. They do not practice the sharia in their marriages. They do not practice the sharia in their births and death ceremonies. They do not practice the sharia in their daily lives. They do not practice the sharia in their businesses. And they want to do the hifazat of the sharia. How hypocritical can you get? You know that I don't attend any weddings. Many people come and tell me, attending the walima is fard. Oh mashallah, first of all, where is it fard? Who said it is fard? But anyway, so I said, very nice. See the sunnah. See what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about attending walima. I said, very nice. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about attending Salatul Fajr in the masjid? You want to quote the hadith to eat your biryani. But what about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he said about praying Salatul Fajr in the masjid? My brothers and sisters, it is not a joke. It is not funny. Please. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to put you in a position where these quotes of yours will come back to haunt you. I want to close. We're talking about obedience. And therefore I want to close with one of the finest examples of obedience. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in were the gold standard for all of mankind till the day of judgment. There's a series of lectures of mine called the Sahaba, the gold standard. The Sahaba made their choice to believe, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, irrespective of anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, and He mentioned the Sahaba in the closing ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. Imam Al-Wahidi, in his book, Tafsir Asbab al-Nuzul, he mentions, based on the reports of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and others, he mentioned what happened when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ
وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُم بِهِ اللَّهُ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَن يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed and said, to Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is on the earth. And whatever, and whether you disclose, whether you bring it out, what is in yourselves, in your hearts, or you conceal it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call you and hold you to account for it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives, and then He forgives whom He wills, and He punishes whom He wills. And Allah is able to do all things. In Tafsir, Asbab al-Nuzul, Imam al-Wahidi writes, pages 29 and 30. The commentators of the Quran said, when the ayah, whatever you hide or make known, ma fi anfusikum aw tukhfuhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whatever you hide, wa in tubdu ma fi anfusikum aw tukhfuhu, yuhasibkum bihi Allah. When the ayah was revealed, Abu Bakr and Umar and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhum ajmain and a group from the Ansar, they all went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They knelt down before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, by Allah, no other revealed ayah of the Quran is harder on us than this one. One of us speaks to himself, meaning he has his thoughts, he has his wishes. One of us speaks to himself with things that he does not like to remain in his heart, even in exchange for the world and all that it contains. They are saying that a desire comes into my heart. I don't even want that desire even in my heart. But it happens, it comes. And even if I had to give everything in the world in order to get rid of the desire, I would do that. But I am human, this desire comes into my heart. And now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we are to be taken to task for the things that we speak to our own selves. By Allah, we are doomed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is how it was revealed. This is how it was revealed. They said, we are ruined. We have been bound by that which we cannot possibly bear. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed, his face became red with anger. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, are you going to say as the people, the Bani Israel, said to Musa alayhi salam, Samena wa asaina, we hear but we will not obey. And he ordered them and he said, say, Samena wa atana, غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. The narrators of the hadith, they say, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, say, we hear and we obey. And O Allah, forgive us and to you is our return. And the narrators of the hadith said that all of the sahaba who had come with this doubt, with this excuse, which seems reasonable, yes? I have no control over my feelings. If Allah is going to hold me accountable, then this is a terrible thing. I will be doomed. Sounds reasonable, yes or no? Yes. But what was the reaction of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He said, no. Say, Samana wa atana. Say, we hear and we obey. Whatever, Ya Rab. Whatever you say, we hear and we obey. And they repeated, they said, Samana wa atana. Ghufranaka Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. My brothers and sisters, don't imagine that Allah does not test. It didn't happen that as soon as they said this, something happened. The narrators of the hadith said, they said this and this was extremely hard on them. And they remained in that situation for 1 year. For 1 year. Upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent down relief. And Allah said, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. And that ayat which abrogated the ayat which came before. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pardoned, has forgiven my community. Allah has forgiven the believers for the things which they speak to themselves, as long as they do not act upon them and as long as they do not speak to others about them. So if a thought comes in your mind, you don't act on the thought and you don't tell anybody about it. Keep it in your heart. Ask forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, please reflect on two things. The concern of the Sahaba was not because they wanted to fulfill their desires in opposition to the orders of Allah. The Sahaba were not complaining that we want to do this, but Allah tells us He will hold us accountable. No. They were concerned about displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by even having desires that He may not like. Desires, not actions. We are not talking about saying or doing anything. This is about thinking and feeling in our hearts. The Sahaba were concerned and fearful that by their thoughts and feelings, they might offend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and therefore be held accountable. What does that tell us about the strength of their yaqeen about meeting Allah? And what about us? They were Muslim. We are also Muslim. Allah does not change standards with time. The standard is the same. And that was why the Sahaba were sent as the gold standard. How severe must this test have been for the Sahaba that for 1 year they lived with the knowledge that Allah would hold them accountable even for their thoughts and desires if those were against His wishes. How difficult a test it must have been. My brothers and sisters, these were people of Iman who believed in the word of Allah at a level of certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became the witness for their yaqeen. For such people to have Allah say that He would hold them accountable for their thoughts and desires, and even when they obeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Zamana wa atana, we hear, we obey, nothing happened for a year. How difficult a test that must have been. My brothers and sisters, it is the power and glory and majesty of Allah to keep the test as long as He wishes. And remember that Allah does not test to find out because He knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests to establish witnesses in favor of the believer or against him. And for those who stand steadfast, also with His strength, the test strengthens the person. The Sahaba were tested for 1 year. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba by bearing witness to their faith and obedience. Allah is their witness. Who is a better witness than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah bore witness to their faith and to their obedience, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the following ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كلنا آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believes in what has been sent down to him from his Rabb. And so do the believers. Allah is bearing witness to the iman of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Each one believes in Allah, His angels, His books and His messengers. And they say, what are the words? La nufarriqu bayna ahadin min rusuli. And we make no distinction between the messengers, and they say, we hear and we obey. Samayana wa ta'ana. Your forgiveness, our Rabb, and to you is our return. Whose words were these first? Who said first, Qul samayana wa ta'ana ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who said them after that? The Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Abu Bakr wa Umar wa Abdurrahman ibn Auf wa Mu'adh bin Jabal. And whoever with them, whoever was with them, radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they said these words, and their Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu liked it so much that He returned these words, not as their words, but as His own kalam, to be recited in Salah till the day of judgment. This is the honor and this is the power of obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave them relief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated His earlier command And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught them dua, what dua to make and how. My brothers and sisters, what is better than to be taught dua by the one to whom that dua is being made? What is better than being taught dua by the one who is going to accept this dua? This is the honor of obedience. This is the meaning of Islam. This is the connection between you and me and my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah taught them Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. You know the meaning of the ayat, you know these du'as. Make these du'as frequently. And finally, my brothers and sisters, I want to end with how all of this applies to us today and how it will continue to apply to all those who wish to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, to meet Him in a state when He is pleased with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Sahaba, in whose honor these ayats were revealed, والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. How do you thank a Rabb who mentioned the Sahaba, who said, and the first to embrace Islam, the Sabiqoon al-Awwalun, the first of the first, min al-Muhajirin wal-Ansar, from the Muhajirun and from the Ansar. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left the door open. Allah left the door open for anyone who wants to join the Muhajirun and the Ansar. Do you want to join the Muhajirun and the Ansar? Yes or no?
Yes.
Find me one of the women of the Muhajirun or Ansar who did not do hijab. Find me one of the men of the Muhajirun or Ansar who shaved their beards. Find me one of the men and women of the Muhajirun or Ansar who did not pray Salatul Fajr in the Masjid. Find me one of the Muhajirun or Ansar who lied to themselves. Stop fooling yourselves. Allah left the door open. But the door has a condition. And what is the condition? وَاتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. Those who follow them in ihsan. Stop fooling yourself that you can live your lives in disobedience to Allah, destroying the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and still be counted among the Muhajirun wal Ansar. If Allah wants to do that, I am not going to object. May Allah do that. But will He do that? I don't know. I am only reciting to you His kalam. My brothers and sisters, make up your minds. Allah, make up your minds. I do not know whether I will stand before you ever again. But remember this. I'm saying this because I love you. Not because I want your popularity. I know I don't get popular by saying all this to you. But because I love you. And my Rabb is witness that I love you. My Rabb is witness that I say to you what I say to you. Because I want you to be with Al-Muhajirun wal-Ansar. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to make the choice wisely. Because this is our choice. And this is the choice with which we will live forever and ever. May Allah give us the tawfiq to make the right choices. And to stay with them on istiqamat. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you in a way that you cannot even imagine. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your du'as. And I ask you to make du'a that Allah must accept my du'a. Will you make this du'a? That Allah must accept my du'a. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your du'as. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all evil in this dunya, that which you know and that which you don't know. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure your sicknesses of the body and the heart and the spirit. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove all difficulties from your lives until you meet Him, and to remove that final difficulty, which is the difficulty of mouth. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect you with the sabiqoon al-awwaloon min al-muhajirin wal-ansar, and with their imam and our imam, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to grant you shade under His arsh on a day when there will be no shade except His shade. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to seat you on members of pearls. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to grant that you be given the water of Al-Kawthar by the hand of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you among that group which will cross the surat with the speed of lightning behind Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you and all your mutallaqeen, all those who have gone before you and all who will come after you, Jannatul Firdaus ala bi ghayri hisab. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Please forgive me for taking a little longer than I normally do. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make dua for our brothers and sisters who are ill. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure all of them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically, I'm not saying name by name because many of them don't want their names to be mentioned. Allah knows who they are. Please ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to completely cure all their sicknesses and to remove their pain and suffering and to remove all their difficulties. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain.